This is Scott Stanley with DTG Ministries. We're exploring the deep things of God in the book of Revelation. We've covered quite a bit of territory in our 10 podcasts that we've uploaded so far. And I think for a brand new person to start at the beginning of these podcasts and begin to work their way through, it may take some time if you're really going to settle in and get the understanding of each podcast. Because we're talking about a unique time in history. We're talking about a time when there was an apostasy that began in the days of the apostles and continues today, and will continue until the second coming of Christ. And we see that really is what the book of Revelation is all about. Understanding how God's people come out of the apostasy, give the message to the world, and the response of the world, really, that's in Revelation 2. But this thing about apostasy is really nothing new. And when you look at world history, because if I were to go back to the days before the flood, and you look at the people who believed in God at that point, God had people standing up for him. And, of course, the first one that always comes to my mind is Enoch. He never died. He was taken. But there were other people during that time. And God had his people. But we know that the majority of the people of the world went into apostasy. There is your first great apostasy. And it was bad enough that the Lord destroyed the world with a flood. And when he did that, he called out of that apostasy Noah. And Noah and his family were the only ones who got in that boat and were saved through the flood. And after the flood, the world went into apostasy again. And I'm going to say the time of Nimrod. Now, Nimrod isn't the apostasy, but he is someone we can point to direct our attention to that time frame. And the Tower of Babel was built. And out of that time, God called a man named Abraham. And he made covenants with Abraham. And we know the story, I should say stories, of Abraham and how the children of Israel went into Egypt and entered into another apostasy because, Moses was called out by God at that time to deliver them out of Egypt. And he was asking God, what's your name? And they didn't know God. And God gave them the law. But there was an apostasy. See, from Abraham, they went into apostasy at the time of Egypt. Well, God called out Moses to lead the children of Israel out of the apostasy. But when he led them out of the apostasy, there was yet another apostasy, and they were carried off into Babylon. So, 70 years in Babylon, God calls people out of Babylon to go rebuild the temple, and I'm going to say the time of Zerubbabel. Let's just put Zerubbabel coming back to rebuild the sanctuary, the foundation, and everything, but they go into apostasy again. The Jews go into apostasy yet again, and this is during the time of Rome when Christ comes. The church was in apostasy, or the people of God were in apostasy. And Christ called out of that the apostles. But there was yet another apostasy, and this is the one we're studying in the book of Revelation. Because from the days of the apostles, we know there was an apostasy. And I am referring to that apostasy as Catholicism. But God never called out of it another individual or group. The apostasy of Catholicism had, say, the days of Martin Luther, and I'm going to call them Protestants. They refer to themselves as Protestants, but they never came out of the apostasy. They walked away from the papacy, but they continued with their doctrines of Trinity. And I could go on these doctrines, but right now let's just say Trinity. And we could say that they continued to teach that Jesus died to pay your sin debt. So from the days of the apostles, there was an apostasy of Catholicism. And then yet a reformation, but it continued the apostasy. And it's out of that apostasy of the Protestants. And what if I just said the apostate protesters? Because there's going to be another group of protesters stand up who will protest Catholicism. But when they protest Catholicism, it's going to include all of the denominational churches, because they're all teaching aspects of Catholicism. And that last group that stands up is the last generation church. They will proclaim the truth, which we see in the trumpets. That is a proclamation of truth. And there is a getting ready that takes place. From Revelation, when you look at the seven churches and the seals, and you come to that seventh seal, and they prepared themselves to sound. They were given the trumpets, and they prepared themselves to sound. So, why mention these good times, bad times? People of God go into apostasy. See, this has happened repeatedly. For us to be living during the time of an apostasy should not freak everybody out, because the people of God have always gone into apostasy. But what I have given you is the opening statement to a look into Revelation 17. In Revelation, you have the kings, and you have the mountains. You have the beast with seven heads, and you have the kings. The kings are the times when the people of God were free from apostasy. The beast heads represent the times they went into apostasy. And what I want you to grasp here. When you look at Revelation 17, verse 1, there came one of the seven messengers, which had the seven vials, and talked with me, saying unto me, Come here, I will show unto you the judgment of the great whore that sits upon many waters. Now skip to verse 3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet-colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. Now, I'll show you the whore. I'm going to show you the judgment of the whore that sits upon water. So he shows me a woman sitting upon a beast. So the beast is the water. Water is thought. Water is understanding. What you're reading in Revelation 17 is a picture of during the times of the children of God, their understanding changed. And in so doing, God labels that apostasy as a beast head. The times that are not in apostasy, he calls them kings. Now, the woman, in the very last verse of Revelation 17, is that great city which reigns over the kings of the earth. That's Babylon. Babylon is simply a symbol, a word symbol used about confusion. It equates to confusion about God. And if you go back and look at the days of Nimrod, when they build the Tower of Babel, they claimed that Babel, that tower, meant the gate to God. God comes down and looks at it and says, that's confusion. So, in the minds of the people who are going into confusion, who go into apostasy, in their mind, this is the way you get to God. God looks at it and says, no, that's confusion. And when you look at the apostles, the days of the apostles, when Jesus Christ, you know, they walked with him and were taught by him, and he prepared them to go forward and give the message to the world. And then to have a group of people walk away from the apostles. They went out from us, John said. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Well, if you were to ask those people who went into apostasy, what are you doing? You know, why are you doing this? Well, this is the gate to God. This is how you get to God. First word, Trinity. This is how you're going to get to God. And it's interesting how the Lord uses that and shows about this woman in Revelation 17, verse 5, upon her forehead was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great. This is the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. That on her forehead, so your most forethought is God, but her most forethought is mystery. And that is exactly what they say about the Trinity. This is a mystery. Nobody can understand it. It's a mystery. Yet when you look at the 144,000 truths that have been redeemed from the earth, on their foreheads, Revelation 14:1 is the name of the Father of the Lamb. See, it has the Father's, in other words, the 144,000 truths carry the seal of God, meaning this is God's understanding. That's why these are the truths that bring healing. But in Revelation 17, the whore has on her forehead, this is a mystery. And again, that's what they say about the God they serve, the Trinity. This is a mystery. Nobody can fully understand it. So, in Revelation 17, there is a beast with seven heads, and the heads are equated to water. And if I looked at the head of a river, the beginning of the river, then that's what you're seeing in these names I gave you, pre-flood, the time of the pre-flood, after that, Nimrod, during the time of Egypt, Babylon, Rome, Catholicism, and then apostate Protestantism. Those are the heads or the beginnings of an apostasy. When God had dealt truth to his people, and in time they turned from the truth and created a beast's head by going into apostasy. And notice in Revelation 17, verse 6, the woman, or this confusion about God, drunken with the blood of the saints and the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. What is the difference between the saints and the martyrs of Jesus? Because the saints are how he is referring to his people before Christ. After Christ came, this confusion of God continued to persecute and slay those who believed in Christ. They are the martyrs of Jesus. In essence, what he is saying is, this confusion about God, this woman, has been from the beginning to the end. When God's people were persecuted and put to death, the ones doing it had confusion about God. And remember, Christ warned of what was coming in his day. And he said, look, the day will come, they will kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. John chapter 16, verse 1. They will kill you, thinking they're doing God a service. They're saying this is the way to God. And God will have his people saying, no, this is the truth. And what do you see? A Cain and Abel happening. It's always the people who refuse to walk with God that will kill and persecute the righteous. And Revelation 17 is simply depicting that, showing us from the beginning to the end, God will have his people, they'll go into apostasy, and this will happen all the way through until the last generation church receives the truth, prepares themselves to sound, and will give the truth to the world. Now, reading from Revelation 17, 7. The messenger said unto me, wherefore, or why did you marvel? I'm going to tell you the mystery of the woman and the beast that carries her, which has seven heads and ten horns. Now, in this study, we're not going to be going over Revelation 17 point by point, symbol by symbol, but we will be coming back and referring to this throughout our Revelation studies. For me to sit here and go over this whole thing would take so long to do that, so we want to do it in increments. And I don't want to lay so much on you that you get lost in all of it. You don't understand what's going on in Revelation 17. But notice he says in verse 7, the beast carries the woman. these beast heads, and again, I'm referring to the time of pre-flood, Nimrod, Egypt, Babylon, Rome, Catholicism, apostate Protestantism. During those times, they carried the woman. The woman is confusion about God. This beast carries that confusion. Now, if you have made a chart, you need to make a chart and look at it so that you can see the seven heads of apostasy. And I'm going to give them again. The times of pre-flood, Nimrod, Egypt, Babylon, Rome, Catholicism, and apostate Protestantism. When John was writing this, he was living between Rome and Catholicism. And if you look again at the kings or the time when it was right, or they were living up to the life they had, I've got the days of Noah, of Adam, but you know, you really should put Enoch in there. You could even put, there's a lot of names we could put in there. Seth, other names of people who were walking with God. So I've just got the time of Adam, Enoch, next the time of Noah, next the time of Abraham, Moses, Zerubbabel, the apostles, and Protestants. So John is writing this from the time of the apostles. So when he makes this statement in verse 8, Revelation 17, 8, the beast that you saw was, right now it is not, but it shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. He was talking about the next beast head after him was Catholicism. And if you compare that to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, Paul says, let no man deceive you in any way, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, see, after the apostles, and the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. It's just interesting that in Revelation 17:8 he uses that word perdition. What do you think is the bottomless pit? It's your mind. Your mind is infinite. And if you want to fall down into apostasy, you can go as far as you want to go. There's no limit to the apostasy you can be in. But if you want to go high, if you want to go up instead of down, your pit is infinite. And you will never stop receiving truth about God and learning and growing, being made in the likeness of Jesus Christ. And notice also in verse 8, they that dwell on the earth will wander after him. On the earth is on your own understanding. So you ought to be in the heavens. Rejoice if you dwell in the heavens. Woe be to you if you're on the earth and sea. And these people who dwell on the earth will wander after that confusion. Because, you know, it'll make perfect sense because they're reading the Bible literally. And they're trying to tell you, look, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, a unity of three co-eternal persons. But the Bible never says that. It has the three aspects, but it doesn't say they're co-eternal and co-equal. That's what the apostatizers are putting on it. But take somebody who never studies and show them Matthew 28:19, I think. Proclaim the gospel, you know, go to all the people, tell them about the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. See, if you never study, you don't know what he's talking about. There's the Trinity. It makes perfect sense. But see, it doesn't make perfect sense. 1 Corinthians 8:6, there's only one God, the Father. And you need to understand Jesus Christ was the God of Israel. And begin to understand the Son of God. The two doctrines of the apostasy, they deny the Father and Son, and they deny Jesus came in the flesh. That is scriptural. I am not making it up. That is what Antichrist believes. And here, in Revelation 17:8, you're being given a warning that after the apostles, it's going to come up and go into apostasy. That is Catholicism. And everybody who clings to it and wants to go forward in that mindset. Looking at verse 9, he goes, here is the mind which has wisdom. Here's the mind which has wisdom. The seven heads of this beast are seven mountains on which the woman is sitting. The confusion sits on seven mountains. Mountains are symbols of doctrine. Remember in Joel 3, and I believe it's in verse 18, where the mountains drop the new wine, the hills flow with milk. Say, milk and wine are two levels of doctrine. Milk is for babes, wine is for people who are beyond the milk. Well, the mountains drop the wine, the hills, the milk. And he says that these heads of the beast are also mountains on which the woman is sitting. So doctrines, doctrinal things. And I started thinking about it, looking at pre-flood, Nimrod, Egypt, and so on. And I began to realize that each one of these heads of the beast were in confusion about God, but they carried the confusion from the previous head. And I want to give you, this is just a quick example. This is something you could study for weeks. But I just put each head or mountain carries with it the apostasy of the head slash mountain before it. Pre-flood, the apostasy before the flood, they would not get in the ark, or they would not listen to God's messenger. And today, see, he says, today is going to be like in the days of Noah. So you've got to get in the ark. You've got to get in Christ. And remain in his church. Remain in these truths. They would not get in the ark. They would not listen. The sons of God plus the daughters of men equaled men of renown. So I have, and I know there's a whole doctrine out there about the sons of God, but Romans 8:14 says the sons of God are the ones who walk in his spirit. And if you take that back, you see believers or sons of God marrying women who were not believers. They were the daughters of men. And these people became men of renown and apostasy. So that was carried forward to the days of Nimrod. And Nimrod is the first guy on the planet, or recorded in Scripture, to proclaim himself to be God. Everybody else said they were listening to God. They were messengers of God. And Nimrod skipped all that. He said, no, I am God. So He proclaimed himself to be God, carrying now what we read about the pre-flood, what we just talked about pre-flood. He wouldn't listen to God. He wouldn't be a part of the church. He wouldn't get in the ark, so to speak. So he builds his own tower. And he says, this is the way you get to God. I'm God, and this is what we need to be doing. Egypt. Did Pharaoh claim divinity? Yes, he did. He did the same thing as Nimrod and pre-flood. Except what he did differently, what he adds to the mix, is he restrained and tried to control the people of God during the time of Egypt. Well, now you've got Babylon. Babylon is next. And Nimrod, claiming to be God, was carried forward to Egypt. It's carried into Babylon too, because Nebuchadnezzar claimed divinity. Except he didn't just restrain and control the people of God. He pursued them to bring them into bondage. See, Egypt did not do that. Babylon did. He pursued the people of God to bring them into bondage, and he made an image of his beast. Next is Rome. Rome adds to the mix. They unite church and state and crucify Christ. Everyone before, pre-flood, they wouldn't get in the ark, they wouldn't listen, they wouldn't have anything to do with the church. Caesar claimed divinity. They restrained the people of God. They pursued the people of God to bring them into bondage and united church and state, creating Catholicism or the papacy. The first pope was a Caesar. Catholicism did everything above, but it was different in that it used the scriptures to prove what they were doing. And they proclaimed themselves to be the only way to heaven. But they used the scriptures. That's something no one previous did. But now you've got one more head to this problem, and it's the apostate Protestants. They do all of the above. And it becomes perfected wickedness. Why perfected? Because when you look at the ones above, especially, see, starting with Pharaoh, Nimrod, Pharaoh, Babylon, all claiming divinity. Well, Catholicism, you've got the papacy, Lord God the Pope. But the apostate Protestants are doing the same thing the papacy did, only they don't see an outward picture of someone claiming to be God. It is themselves. They're doing this themselves, and this is Revelation 13, where they make an image of their own beast, which we will get into in our podcast, our future podcast. But looking at apostate Protestants today, and you see the papacy, you know, he's going to elevate himself above the stars of God and make himself equal to God. Well, that's what these people are doing in these churches. They'll pick up the Bible and they'll say, this is the Word of God. And then they will define it for you. And they will put their own meanings to the symbols instead of letting God define those meanings. So they are now in a perfected wickedness. And for you to get out of it, you're going to have to look at yourself and look at your life and ask yourself this question. am I free from sin? Why would you ask that? Because Paul says that in Romans chapter 6. Romans 6, 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin? No. How shall we that are dead to sin live in it any longer? Do you consider yourself and your church dead to sin? Or are you being told you're going to keep sinning till Jesus comes? Then he will give you a new body and you won't sin anymore. That's a lie. That is not true. Paul wrote to the Romans that these people were free. And he even says in verse 17, Romans 6, God be thanked, you were the servants of sin, but you've obeyed from the heart into a form of teaching delivered you, being then made free from sin. See, there is a doctrine, there is an understanding that God will give us that sets us free from sin. And we can spend some time on that too in this podcast, because God has given to his church the keys of the kingdom, meaning the understanding we need to enter into his kingdom, spiritual kingdom. We have those keys, and we know what it means to walk with Jesus Christ, to be made in the image of Jesus Christ, and to be free from sin. These verses are true concerning his church. And if you want to get angry, if you want to stand up and be proud, go ahead. But the truth of the matter is your understanding of God delivering you from sin? Or are you having the Romans 7 experience? What I want to do, I'm not doing. What I don't want to do, that's what I'm doing. Who will set me free? Who will deliver me? I thank God through Jesus Christ. He is going to deliver me through Jesus Christ. That message is part of his church. And again, you can be a king, or you can be in confusion. You can be on the beast's head carrying the woman. You've got to make that decision. This is the close of our podcast. And we're covering heavy things, but we need to be honest about it. We need to be faithful to the truth, because the words I'm preaching, the words I'm speaking, they are truth and soberness. You better wake up and be sober about who you are and what you're doing at the end of the world. Time is up. God is getting his people ready. Be a part of it. Father, we worship you and thank you. We praise you and pray for your leading in all things. I pray that hearts be softened and open to truth and you be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen.